Welcome to Ambleside Flourish, brought to you by Ambleside Schools International. This is our special series, Ambleside Moments, with Mary Ellen St. Cyr, founder of Ambleside School of Fredericksburg, Ambleside Homeschool, Ambleside Schools International, and contributing author of When Children Love to Learn.
Children as persons and parents in authority. The mystery of a person, indeed, is ever divine. To him that is a sense for the godlike. In accordance with Charlotte Mason's biblical faith, she held that every child is made in the Imago Dei, the image of God. Thus, every child is a person with the spiritual requirements and capabilities of a person. We must be careful in our approach to children, for beside a child, we stand on holy ground. Hundreds of years ago, persons who did not live as others lived were considered savages, uncivilized, or boors, ill-mannered. Charlotte Mason didn't conform to the cultural beliefs regarding personhood. She gained insight into personhood from her faith. Listen to how she saw them. The mystery of a person is indeed divine, and the extraordinary fascination of history lies in the fact that this divine mystery continually surprises us in unexpected places. Like Jacob, we cry, before the sympathy of the savage, the courtesy of the boor. Behold, God is in this place, this person, and I knew it not. We attempt to define a person, the most commonplace person we know, but he will not submit to bounds. Some unexpected beauty of nature breaks out. We find he is not what we thought, and begin to suspect that every person exceeds our power of measurement. Personhood is the fundamental belief Charlotte Mason built her educational philosophy and practice upon. This truth has consequences for both the educators, parents and teachers, and the children. There are prohibitions for all of us, things we cannot do and others we must do. Not all avenues are open. One of the prohibitions is this incessant need we have to measure human beings, specifically children. A child comes into the world weak and ignorant and given to the trust of parents and then teachers to orient him to what it means to live in the world with oneself, others, and God. Most parents believed in all potential and possibilities for the infant they held in their arms. And then the child began to express himself in ways that are kin to other family members and in ways that are unique to himself. Well-meaning parents, grandparents, teachers, and even strangers began to use language to talk about the child in ways of comparison and distinction. For example, the child is like her father, or maybe her grandparent, or we compare her to someone in history, the celebrated dancer or athlete. We distinguish the child from others through aptitude, bright, merit scholar, learning disabled, mathematically challenged, through personality, extroverted, introverted, agreeable, neurotic, through behaviors, perfectionistic, moody, personable, morning person, through interests, musical, geek, athletic, by weaknesses, attention deficit, sullen, clumsy, selfish, sensitive, or birth order, firstborn, middle child, and youngest, and the list goes on. This descriptive language takes on a life of its own and acts in ways of identity. We have all heard of others talk of themselves. I'm the smart one in our family. I'm the math person. I want to ask, does this mean you don't like literature, music, or nature? And others who have less affirming remarks about themselves. I'm the non-athletic one. I was born clumsy. The question we each need to ask ourselves is, why do we feel the need to measure the children before us? If I'm a teacher and I have students before me who have deficits in attention or learning, it allows me to have an attitude of sloth towards supporting them. They can't, so who am I to say they can? If I'm a parent, I might have feelings of unreasonable pity. Poor child, she cannot help herself. When we measure in both positive and negative ways, it is always limiting and always hurtful. Think for a moment of some of the descriptions you were given in childhood, which became identifying. Were they hurtful or helpful? If a child wants confirmation for every castle she builds, every picture he paints, every outfit she wears, every ball he catches, you probably have been too much with your child. A child should be able to go through his or her days building, computing, listening, painting, discovering, without expressions of, "Good job, rocket scientist," or intimations of, "New York, New York," for their lead role in the school play. There are other ways of affirmation besides words: enthusiasm in voice, smiles, light touches, tight hugs. Affirm your child with specific language, as this alights the brain. Talk about the kindnesses, thoughtfulness, prompt obedience, as these descriptions are integrated into other parts of life. But you don't have to speak to every behavior upon which a child acts. Begin now with both thinking and speaking about others in ways that are life-giving, not limiting. And when it is timely, give specific expressions of affirmation. "I appreciate your thoroughness in putting the dishes in the dishwasher, wiping the counters, and sweeping the floor. It's shipshape everywhere."
Ambleside Schools International fosters an educational renewal based upon the pedagogical insights of British educator Charlotte Mason. Serving an international community of parents, teachers, and schools, Ambleside makes a living education accessible to all. For additional information regarding Ambleside Schools International and training opportunities for principals, teachers, and parents, please visit our website at ambleside schools.com.